technicians will join us if they are coming.
Walwa!
Let's use our voices. We'll try to. If you can allow me to just observe a moment of silence for a short prayer. Thank you very much. This meeting is officially open. Before we start, do we have any apologies, Dr. Chair?
Good morning, everyone. Yes, Chair, we do have two apologies from Honorable Mohabi and Honorable Ntimuni. That's all, Chair. Thanks.
Yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chetty sent me a message a short while ago. He said, I must please inform you, he is going to be a slight bit late, but he is on his way.
Thank you very much. And I just received also a call from Honorable Wanna. She is attending the programming. She will join us later. From later. From the members, we have an agenda in front of us. Can we, only one item, can we adopt the agenda as it is, or do you want to add anything? No addition, nothing.
I propose adoption.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Is there any sovereign on this? Thank you very much. Thanks. Before we proceed, honourable members, can we introduce ourselves in the committee? My name is Dumisani Ximbi. I'm the chairperson of this committee, permanent member from the Western Cape in the NCOP. Honourable member?
Kunadi Matine, permanent delegate, Limpopo Province.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Michalakis. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rhonda Engelbrecht, and I represent Gauteng.
Morning, everyone. Can you some keys, the committee secretary.
Doc?
Oh, good morning, everybody. My name is Dr. Mimi Gondre. I'm the committee content advisor.
Good morning. That's Mimi Sirius, the research into the committee.
You? Where?
Henry Delblanche, a member of parliament.
Thank you, Honorable Delblanche. Yes, gentlemen.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Buyo Mafan. I'm here as the Acting Director General of the Department of Labor.
Thank you.
Henry Gosinka, from the Department of Labor.
Thank you.
Rebecca Spander, Center for Constitutional Rights.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Christina Buerta also.
Wow, thanks.
Good morning, my name is Greg Sherman. I'm the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Minister of Labour.
Thank you very much, sir.
My name is Michael Mwai, researcher in the Office of the Chairperson in Sofia.
Thank you very much. Where is it in? From? Okay, thank you very much. members, we are here today. As you can see that we have got only one item of consideration of the Delblanche petition calling for the amendment of section 27 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act 75 of 1997. Members will remember that this petition, in the petition Mr. Delblanche requests the intervention of the NCOP in amending the Basic Conditions of Employment Act 75 of 1997 to include or provide for elder care leave. Elder care leave is the name commonly given to the care provided by the elderly children for their elderly parents who are unable to look after themselves because of the ill health of incapacity. Then the South African legislative framework does not recognize elder care as a component of family responsibility for which leave, whether paid or unpaid, can be taken in terms of the Act. But members, the petitioner is here, Mr. Tele Blanche. He's going to brief the committee, and then we'll take it from there. Honorable Tele Blanche, your platform is yours, sir.
Thank you once again for this opportunity. Last event, 4 years ago,
yes,
we were in the other building.
And you win that one.
It was the start of the process. I didn't want it. Let's rather leave that as is.
Yes, come on.
But the one that I'd like to win to that is the Albert Kerry. Surely then I'm going to, I think last time we were sworn in at the Davis and those sort of things, so I'm just going to read. I don't want to say something contradictory or things like that, but I've just prepared a short little speech, and I would also just like to thank the Center for Constitutional Rights. Last time I wasn't privileged to have like legal opinions, and it's always great to hear it. From a well respected source, also the legal questions and answers. I've got an absolute liaison for social dimensions of justice, so I'm not the right person to ask legal questions. As you are well aware, my mom Alice, who's my mother in law, she passed away after a brave battle of cancer on the 9th of July. Now, my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, whereas my mother was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Now, our parents have dedicated their whole lives to take care of us, but now it's our time to take care of our parents, our grandparents, and in some cases, adopted parents.
Mm.
As the populations of Africa ages, more time needs to be devoted to take better care of our elders, our senior citizens.
Mm.
Then, according to the vulnerable groups, series, the social profile of elder statistics South Africa report, the major health challenge faced by the elderly is the increasing prevalence of chronic diseases such as high blood pressure, diabetes, and arthritis, which often require constant long-term care. Legislation and policies have been developed around the role of the parent as a caregiver,
mm,
not as the recipient of the parent. But if you, for example, family responsibility leave, it only acknowledges an employee's duty of care towards his or her sick child, and not the duty of care towards the parent as well. Most employees will be ineligible for childcare leave by the time the parents aren't an age when they need more help and assistance for care when they are sick or terminally ill. So, if we take the amendment of Section 27(2)(b) of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act to include parent, adopted parent, or grandparent, or the provision of elder care leave to take care of an aging parent who is sick or terminally ill, therefore more in line with Section 9, 10, and 23 of the Bill of Rights, which is contained in Chapter 2 of the Constitution, than the current provisions for family responsibility. Then we've also got to look at the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act 2000. Now, if you look, for example, in that act, under the definition, the Act itself, the GCC to Section 9, that I've just mentioned earlier, was Item 23 of Schedule 6 to the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, to act to prevent and prohibit unfair discrimination and harassment, to promote equality and eliminate unfair discrimination, to prevent and prohibit hate speech, and provide the methods to make it their work. So, if we look then, for example, the definition of Chapter 1, family responsibility means responsibility in relation to a complainant, spouse, partner,
defendant, child, or other member of his or her family in respect of whom the member is liable for care and support. Then it's clear that if you look at this, family responsibility needs to be adjusted. Because it's my understanding that, application of act. If you look at part, this act binds the state and all persons. If any conflict relating to a matter dealt with in this act arises between this act and the provisions of any other law, other than the constitution or an act of parliament expressly amending this act, the provisions of this act must prevail. So here it caters on kind of responsibility is it doesn't. So it's also important to acknowledge and create the balance between an employee's responsibilities in the workplace and an employee's duty of care towards his or her parents in order to prevent work-family conflict. So what I'm asking today is just for this committee if that can assist to amend family responsibility leave to make it possible to take care for our elders and also amend the legislation accordingly. This is in brief a summary. It's almost like if you look at it, you go back to paternity leave. So the parents looking after the child or the children. Now it's the children looking after the parents or the grandparents or adopted parents. It's basically a full circle that I want to achieve with regards to this. That is in short, sweet, basically what the petition is involved, and it doesn't even cater to the great work that the center did by having international law, case studies. It was this amazing thing that I wasn't even aware of, but with regards to the African Union, for example, but with the great work that they have done, but I'll leave all of those things in their hands if they can.
Thank you. Have you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Before I can ask the aspects to I'd like to give the members, if they want to ask questions from the petitioner, then maybe after that I think we'll give it to our officials, which is all the aspects who are here to give us the guidance if we need, if they want to comment, but I want to give it to the honourable members. Welcome, Honourable Oliphant. So our member Oliphant, permanent delegate from the Northern Cape. Welcome, ma'am. Members, want to ask Doc and Honourable Engelberg.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Not a question per se. First, personally, I appreciate the realization that now people are living longer because of advances in medical science. We haven't yet succeeded to beat all the diseases, but we're managing to make people, what do you call it, longevity, you know, HIV, the span of life, lifespan has now increased because we're looking after our own data. My comment would be just, I would suggest, he has mentioned a few conditions as an example of the chronic illnesses. I just would wish that maybe we could, where are the experts? Those are good in English, should phrase it in such a way that all conditions that senior citizens do suffer from must be included in this amendment. And that we have a wholesome law 15, 20 years from now, we don't have the need to amend again. That would be my submission here. But allow me to also, I imagine Labour to be saying to us in this meeting, the economy of this country is not very good. We need all hands on deck. And that balance, the content, the experts in law here, we have to strike that balance between quality of life and good economic activity to take our country forward, Jameson. That is my submission. Let's broaden. Let's have almost all the conditions, senior citizens. I'm not sending an application. But I would like us to make a law that will embrace the realities of our time. Thank you,
Doctor. Thanks. Honorable Engelberg.
Chairperson, thank you. Yes, I definitely think that from a social perspective and even from a constitutional perspective, it's definitely something that we as a country can evaluate and look at. However, the concern that I have is the information that we were given only gives us data from countries that are economically very stable. So I'd like to know if there's any data from countries that have the similar type of problems that we have, like, for example, the BRICS countries, in terms of the impact, economic impact of such a decision would have. And then from the department, obviously they have seen the submission, and how would they consider something, what is their opinion, and how would they word it, and what type of days and what type of details have they considered? They've obviously just looked at it, but in terms of a discussion, how would the department consider something like this? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. Is that all for members? If now, let me ask the department, two departments, if they want to say something, Department of Labour, especially, and constitutional rights.
Thank you. Honourable members, and thank you, Chair, and colleagues, and President Lunch, petitioner. Look, I mean, this is a very a difficult area. I mean, no person without any culture would disagree with this, because I mean, all of us have got a conflict of interest in this, because at some stage we're rich for it. The issues that we thought at this stage we need to raise is give the committee the rationale. Because the proposal from the Mr. Bunch is to amend Section 27.
Yes.
Now, we want to give the committee the rationale for why Section 27 is as it is. Whether it's right or wrong, they're not making that decision. That's the first issue that we're going to raise. The second issue is that in terms of the Network Act, one of also the legislation passed by this August House is that all labor law amendments have got to go through Medlec, but that I leave it to the members of the committee how to be, whatever decision they make, how do they affect that, because that's another parliament, act of parliament that must also be complied on. We don't want somebody to impact parliament on the basis that they have not followed the Medlec Act, but it's for the members to look at that. Now, what's the rationale? When the Basic Conditions of Employment Act was introduced in 1995-97, this issue was heavily discussed. How do you structure this section? And what teach the scale on the way it is the fact that if you look at it, is that it says if your child is born, you got the right to treat this family responsibility.
Mm.
And if your child is sick, you've got a right for treatment responsibility. And the rationale not including the parent, for example, the parent is not included there, and the grandparent was that. What happens if I work for parliament and we're five of us working for parliament in the same family? This is our grandmother. Do we all apply for leave? My grandmother is sick. Five of us work for this company. We all apply for this family responsibility and get family responsibility to look for family if at the same time. Because it's we're talking about our grandparents, all of us, our grandparents. And if, let us assume that we don't work for the same company, work for seven of us, work for different companies, grandparents is sick. We all apply for family responsibility and all take on. And now, what was faced with partisan network then was, what do we do to ensure the word empathy for people who are sick and children who are off and the effect on the economy?
Mm.
And I'm raising this issue so that when members debate, look also all the rationale. And the argument was that it's easy to manage because when your child is born, it's your child.
Mm.
It can't be two people's children. It was three, four, five. It's the wife, the husband. If you adopt a child, it's two people adopting, it's not 20 people adopting. That is manageable in the labor market. That's what you could say. Your children is born, your children is sick, you take leave. There's no question about that. And that's the issue that we debated at that stage. Whether those issues are still relevant, and even at that stage, there were some principal disagreements on the possible need. The issue was, how do you manage it? How do you ensure that it does not affect the economy? And for us, those are the two issues that we thought that we need to put on the table. The issue about the role of MEDNEC in labor administration and union, the issue about how do companies ensure that when they give family responsibility for a parent or a granny, it does not affect the economy. And that was the rationale at that stage. I'm not sure whether I'm helping you at this stage. And when we look at it, that's how we look at the issues and said, look, there can be principled objections on this. It's a good thing to have. And as we know, all human beings and countries reach different stages in terms of aging, in terms of the aging population. As you develop, your population also develops and you live longer and all of those. We understand those issues. But for us, these are the issues that we think you need to know in making that decision.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I noted you, Honorable Oliphant. Mm-hmm. And welcome, Honorable Wana. This is Honorable Wana, permanent delegate from the Eastern Cape, Madiba. Also, I'd like also to give a chance to Center for Constitutional Rights if they want to say something. Please. Noted, you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I think, as the lady mentioned, it is quite apparent there is an obvious legal obligation to recognize the KV, and there is a very strong imperative, at least from a legal perspective, to effect the amendment. And I think, as has been rightly pointed out, the bigger questions remain as to how exactly this will impact the economy. And I think, as my colleague has already mentioned, that would really be an issue that would relate to the final details. But in our research, we've considered other jurisdictions, And I do take honorable point about the fact that we in largely considered jurisdictions where their gross domestic income is slightly larger than that of South Africa. So namely countries like Japan. But it's quite apparent that in the Japanese context, they have a very well-developed system, which in a sense is similar to South Africa, that of the UIF. And in that instance, the Japanese state has used the UIF system together with companies and various employers to, in a sense, act as a check and balance against any possible abuses. So in that regard, companies are very responsible in ensuring that employees do not abuse the system. So I think, given the South African context, I think there's already a very strong legal imperative, not least because of the various provisions in the Bill of Rights, but also because of our existing UIF. And I think there's room to build from what South Africa currently has.
Thank you, ma'am. Then want to add? Yes, sir.
The issue of the economy is not about payment only. It's about payment, which can be, because it indicates, can be through the UIF. It's about productivity also. Therefore, you can't look at it only in one angle and say, well, if we give a family responsibility and use the UIF, we'll solve the problem of the economy. When you look at the economy, you look in both ways. The payment, the actual cost, and the unintended cost as a result of productivity effect in the economy. And that's why it's just to make sure that when we look at the economy, we understand that it's not about only the payment part of it, but also the effect it will have on the economy. And then this is not an indication that we say no to the proposal. That's not what we say. We're saying that when we apply our minds on the issue, we've got to look at all of those issues.
Thank you. On the fund? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for coming late. I was at the meeting earlier at that time. But is this in order now?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not working then.
Okay.
Right.
Off the record.
I'm so happy about this one, because people out there, for instance, if I've got someone in my house that I'm making an example at work for me, the pain she got, it's my pain as well. So there are those employers that whenever you went on baby leave and then they said, no, I'm not going to pay you, you can go to labor. You go to labor, you find that he, she himself didn't even pay the labor, so that you must get money. Labor is asking you, now where does the money come from, because your employer didn't pay. I'm trying to say we must also look at the thing that somewhere along the line the employers are going to use this petition as well. But the issue of 7 people, and it's not a dialogue, but the 7 people, we were all loved alike.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to put a hand in there. But now, how do I put a hand in there where I have an insurance and my employer doesn't even give me time to go and claim to put, so that I must also come and show the last laugh of my parents. So I will ask, if we come there, let us not draw a line. Everybody gets the same. Because now this issue can go to the union. You must join our union to get that benefit. Whereas if you make a benefit of everything, then it's working. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Telebunch, want to say something?
Thank you, yes. Thank you for the opportunity to answer them, and thank you for all the valid questions and arguments. So if we go back to 27.2b, currently when it is when an employee's child is sick, so that is already established. Everybody's got 3 days family responsibility. Others are in a privileged position because with the company policy says 5 days. Hartford, for example, 5 days, but that's a company policy decision. So all I'm asking is, when an employee is charged, and now you add those 5 words, parent, grandparent, or adopted parent is sick. When I go to the doctor says, okay, you brought your child, and he signs that I've attended on the medical certificate that I've brought Jandre or Dante to the doctor. So there's your one control measure. If you go for elder care leave and you want to be more progressive, then you allow for 3 months. But then it's unfair to also take into consideration the work, the employer, because they can't pay you for 3 months you take care of as a primary caregiver for parents or adopted parents or grandparents. So then the employer is protected for those 3 months. That can be like the UIF, claim like maternity leave or the new parental leave that can come into effect once the president signs the act. But that's also a great opportunity for employers to maybe, if they know for 3 months, they can maybe employ somebody temporarily so a new person enters the job market, getting a little bit of new experience, because we've got youth unemployment. And now we've got a vehicle to get people a little bit of work experience at the same time. Speaking of cost, for example, if you like take care of your employees, the employees will take care of the employer. People will work harder. If these days expensive, you've got to go through a whole recruiting process with a lot of costs involved when employees leave your business as a result of a simple thing that could have been negotiated, like I need to take my parent or whatever the case might be to the doctor, for example. Now if you look at I forgot the now the correct word, but if you look at the National Development Plan, I think, for 2030, the goal there is, I think, 70 years. We've got a proposed national health plan. Probably going to get the people to public hospitals, clinics, if the children contact them to those facilities to take care of them. Because they won't be able, they've got to take annual leave. Because currently it doesn't allow you to take your parents, grandparents or adopted parents to medical facilities. So how are we going to get, if we've got the national health insurance in place and we put a lot of money in our national health care environment, but we can't get the people you need. I think it's 23, where it also says, and I know this is not a direct thing, but it says also, where it says, healthcare, food, water, and social security, 27. Everyone has the right to have access. So that will also allow children to take their parents so they will have access to healthcare. It doesn't help you've got the facilities, but you don't have the vehicles to take the parents. You require the medical. So it's a little bit slight plan of parents to allow that. But so that is just additional consideration. And 1995, like you mentioned there, was with the labor relationships and the draw, the thing was drawn up. But 1996, if I recall correctly, the constitution, that was sort of things, the process started afterwards. So the constitution is always ahead of other legislation. Sorry.
Okay, thanks on that. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yes, Doc. I'll not have said.
Yeah, Chairperson, maybe I have missed out on an expert. Do we have the law drafters here? It would assist if the law drafters are with us here, because then they would know how to package, the sentiments that are coming through here. My submission is yes, some of the nuances and details here, we need not write them into the act per se, the amendment per se, but they will be taken in the regulations. So those who draft laws know that it's far easier to change a regulation than to change an act of parliament. So, but the sentiments, like I'm just thinking of this granny who's got 15 grandchildren and working different places, and they all would like to assist. The modalities, how they assist, that can appear in the regulations, because regulations are easier to adjust. Now, on the question of productivity, Chairperson, question of productivity is also very, very important. Very important. But human nature being what it is, we tend to cut corners where we can and say, I'm going to look after this granny when I know actually I'm not going there, but she is there. So let the regulations should package all this, but the question of the UIF, I think maybe the NHI now, that is something else we need to factor in. Isn't it? It's a development in our country. The issue of the constitutionality. I think if the constitutionality, the rights part of it, those are in place. We know what people are entitled to. It's just a matter of how do we give expression to what the Constitution is saying, we as lawmakers. So I am just saying the nuances, the details we are giving here would assist the law drafters, if they are among us, when they come to draft in the regulations check. Hopefully in this term, but it may not happen in this term, you may have to go talk to those people who will be elected after the next elections. We may not be here. It's a reality of our country. We may not be here. You may have to go through this exercise again. So capturing is very, very important.
Thank you very much. I'm not at your side. Honorable Engelberg?
Chairperson, there's another issue which we mustn't forget, and maybe the Centre for Constitutional Rights has got an answer on this particular one. With our family situation in South Africa, which is very different to a lot of other countries, is that we've got this whole extended family. So you might have one child that is looked after by 8 or 7 or 6 different people. And at the end of the day, those are all your parents, because the one person cares for you at a certain stage and another person cares for you at a different place. So we do have a challenge, Chairperson, that who would then be the elder care parent? Would that encompass all the people that have looked after that person, which could be 10, 20 people in that person's life that has cared for you? They aren't your biological parents, but they are your elders and they did care for you. So I'd like an answer on that, Chairperson. How far is that, would that definition be? Because if you're an employer, you look at productivity and you also look at the compassionate of your staff, looking after your staff. But the two have to be balanced. You can't allow your staff member to take 20 days and leave a year, because then your productivity goes down, and if our businesses aren't productive, they aren't going to be in our economic cycle. So it's critical for us to look at that, and I just think that's an important consideration.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir. Thank you.
The other issue I remember, the area that members should look at it holistically. We want a social responsibility of society to look after the young and the elder. No doubt about that. But it's not only about payment and yield. Now, is social development part of this discussion? What, as a kind of society, what accommodation are we making for our elders, and what health facilities are available for elders? How does that sector be done? And I just think that when members want to deal, as Honourable Member said, you need to introduce a law that looks to the future. Now, when you only look at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and says that's it, you can give the 3 days. What happens now is the grandparent is sick for 6 months, for a year. What other service that the society should be able to give on that? I just think that, I mean, as members, you need the wisdom of also other departments that are into this area, for them, just like we are here, to come and talk about these issues that we're raising. The issue of NHI that has been raised, you would need the wisdom of the Department of Health to check how is that factored in terms of the elder. And I'm saying to the members again, we have not taken a decision in the department that says, no, we should not go to this. What we're saying is that why the issues that members need to look at in order to have a law, if they want to reach a law that meets the needs of what they want to do and does not affect the economy merit. For us, that's the only issue that we want to put on the table. We don't, I mean, we think that it's going to be a longer road to have a proper position, not only qualifying in the constitution, looking at the constitution.
Thank you so much. Any other member or official want to add on this one? Acting teaching that you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. You want to add something for the last time.
In our research, we looked at countries such as Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, and Kenya.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was that the government admitted that they were not in a position economically to allow elderly care possibility to use. So instead, there's a tax which is part of their our equivalent of URA. And that tax funds the establishment of centers where these centers are responsible for elderly care needs. And it allows individuals who pay into the tax to leave their elderly parents in these times of difficulty, but on a daily basis. So that in a sense is the halfway stage, which isn't quite like Japan, where in Japan individuals are entitled to up to 90%. But on the other hand, with a particular Japanese context, we also found that it actually encouraged employee productivity because, you know, in line with the over sophistication, but the fact that once employees are happy, once they have peace of mind, they're more likely to be productive at work, and this was within the Japanese context. So I think with the South African context, where we obviously don't have the same resources, the same economic resources as countries like Japan, we could perhaps consider the halfway stages that other countries on the continent have followed.
Thank you. Petitioner,
I think there was also a question about what constitutes family and just the definition of family.
Yes.
I think we could perhaps look at the social security and how it defines family. So, for example, with respect to child care grants, how it does make particular provisions. So I think in that sense, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I think we could look to what that particular act demands in terms of family responsibilities. And I think it is a pertinent question, especially if you consider the fact that already at birth, with only a third of children whose father's names are indicated on their birth certificate. So I think in the African context, we do have to grapple with these kinds of issues and just understanding that what our understanding of family is isn't necessarily what the rest of the world understands family to be.
Thank you. Welcome, Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Mthethwa is the whip of this committee. He is a permanent delegate from KZN. He was just stuck to other meetings. No, this situation is very busy. Mr. Plans, you want to say something? I think for the last time.
Yeah, it's just a sense of opportunity. Just to add on what Ms. Dubin said, if you look at family responsibility, we
see,
too, there is already a definition to employees, parents, doctors, parents, grandparents, and child. So, the exact same thing that's there should apply to mark the puzzle what is.
No, I get you. Is there any country, maybe, that in the continent that you can say is applying this, maybe, in your knowledge of the telephone?
South African 4 years.
Come again?
South African 4 years.
let me say, as a committee now, we'll sit down and take all the suggestions and we'll decide as a committee. Then therefore you will hear from the committee. What is the decision of the committee? Because those are the lawmakers on the side. And I think let me take the opportunity to thank you, more especially you, Mr. Teleblanche. And people doesn't understand that this committee, this petition, it's not for only for certain people. Even people from the ground, even people for, service delivery. You can come and write to the NSOP, ask for intervention, do anything. But sometimes others, they just come to us, yet we've got petitions in the local government, we have an office of petition in the provincial government, which is the provincial legislature. Then if you don't get anything, then you can come to us. Thank you very much for trusting that you can get something, but you know, you have been this office, and I think you won one of the of your cases last time. We'll do the same thing. We'll sit down with the committee, then we'll write a letter to you. I think let me take a whip. You want to say something? Thank you very much for attending this meeting. Thank you, honourable members, for your time. We'll sit as a committee. We'll take a decision there, what direction we can take. Thank you very much. I think I can release you. And also, I don't have any other agenda. Then the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. In the coffee, send in the coffee. I'm not chasing you away.
Thank you. What place is this? understand.
We are struggling to find any proper building, but the keys moves. It's hard to go to like
but I like to see us next year adopting the photo. The remaining.
It has been a hard to find.
Sesigqibile mfondini ileta kusesigqibile.
Thank you very much for the shortest meeting.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.